This is Purple Radio on demand.
Welcome to Sportsfeed, your twice weekly podcast where we discuss all things sport in the Northeast. My name is Sanjay Suri, and today I'm joined by DU Women in Sports Rosie Haffenden as we chat about their work in Durham, as well as looking forward to another round of Bucks fixtures this Wednesday. Let's get into it. Rosie, nice for you to join us on the podcast today.
Oh, thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be fantastic, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, looking forward to it too. Do you want to start by telling us a little bit about the work that you guys do?
Okay, so every week we partner with a Teen DU club where they send along their coaches or their captains or their exec to run an introductory taster session for the women that we bring along who are members of Women in Sport to have a go, low stakes, very inclusive, just getting people in, getting people having a go of things they might not have tried before, they might not have done since school, just having fun, re-embracing the sort of joy of sport, essentially, and just the fun of turning up, having a run around, hitting something really far.
Perfect. Yeah, no, it sounds really good and really fun for people to join, even though they've not done any of that specific sport yet and stuff. Can you just tell us a bit about the history? How long have you guys been around for, and what's kind of your backstory?
So we're very, very new, actually. It began start of last academic year with our founder, Jamie, who got made, I can't remember exactly what his position was, but in charge of increasing participation in fencing. And it was his idea to have a particular group that was about getting women involved in sports generally, because there is a lot of just addressing a lot of the barriers that can be faced with turning up to a new club, having not tried the sport before or having not done it in ages, trying to find the right place to access these beginners friendly sessions. So he decided that this was a fantastic idea about 2 weeks before the Freshers' Fair, and then sort of moved heaven and earth to try and get a stand at the Freshers' Fair, trying to get people in, which is where I first heard about it as well. So me and a few of my friends, we turned up to the sessions, which throughout the first term were every week. We'd turn up, we'd have a go, great fun. So then when the exec elections came around and he was filling out his exec positions over Christmas, I thought, let's have a go, see if I can get it. So I ran for president and I won that election, which I'm very grateful for. And so I started I started as vice president with Jamie still as president, and we brought a full exec to start planning the sessions, reaching out to more sports. And from there, that was the sort of development of the model of every week we have, you know, this session, we have these posts at this time, formalising everything. So then at the end of that year, over the summer, we ran a second set of elections. Now we're on our second exec. We had a real good Freshers' Fair, getting people in the door, lots of sign-ups. And from there, we're looking at expanding into socials. We've recently appointed a social sec, turning up to fill out the numbers on other teams, just getting people in the door, getting people doing sport, whether it's our sessions or separately. That's been our main aim for the past couple of years, essentially.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, with any new initiative or any new society, I feel like the first few months and years are the ones where you see the biggest amount of growth. You got some great publicity thanks to our friends at Plessner. Oliver Jervis did a fantastic article on your initiative back in January. Mm. But since then, how strong do you reckon the growth has been in the engagement with DU Women in Sport?
We've got a lot of people. What tends to happen is we don't have people who come regularly to a lot of the sessions. Like, we'll get a reasonably big turnout at a lot of sessions, but then it won't be the same cast of people week by week. So people will pick out, which is absolutely what it's designed for. People will pick out the ones that they want to go to. And you'll get, you know, a massive range of different faces turning up to each different session, which is absolutely, you know, it's fantastic. It's what we encourage, but that means the attendance is quite unpredictable. So in terms of growth, we're pretty stable at the minute, about 12 people to sessions. That can vary a little, but so we've sort of reached a bit of a plateau there, which is great because people who turn up get incredibly direct instruction in all the sports. But yeah, growth is what we're focusing on at the minute, and getting more people in the door just to show them what the benefits of turning up are, because we think people will really enjoy it and we'd love to show them.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And how are you trying to focus on getting more growth and getting more exposure? Do you get much support from the university or from Team Durham? You mentioned that the initiative started from Team Durham. Do they continue to show regular support?
Oh, absolutely, yes. They've been very good at mainly because we're all very very new exec. I'd never been on an exec before. We've not got the sort of base of experience, I think, because the club is so new. The people who we get in applying for the club are also very new to this sort of role. But, you know, we've got each other to rely on. And if we have any questions or need something sorting out or anything like that, we know who to reach out to at Team Durham. We've got a really good relationship with them.
Do you have any particular support from the university as a whole, mainly in terms of increasing exposure?
Nothing from the wider university. We reached out and talked a bit to the student union about getting in at their fair, but that didn't materialise. So yes, it's been a lot of the support we get is mainly centred in Team Durham.
So yeah, so it's your second year as an initiative as a whole. What are your specific aims kind of coming into this year, and what are you looking to carry through into next term, into 2024?
We'd love to have a bit more recognition of, because it is difficult, because when people see us at the Freshers' Fair or see our logo in places, it's not immediately obvious what we do. So we're trying to build up, you know, a group of people who know what we are and can can spread to other people what we're up to, bringing people in the door and having this returning cast of people who did it 1 year want to carry on with it the next year, because we didn't get a lot of overlap with people who did it last year and people who did it this year. So that is where our main area of focus is, getting people who are passionate about the initiative as well as the specific sports. And we have had a fair bit of progress with that, and that's definitely where we're looking to go to in the future.
Imagine I'm a fresher who's just joined the university, and let's say I hear about DU Women in Sport. What's kind of the pathway that they'll go through in terms of turning up to your taster sessions and then following it up and making sure they get regular involvement in that sport? Are there links towards the respective clubs? So I don't know, let's say, for example, you're on a taster session for hockey, and if someone goes to that and gets a lot of enjoyment from that and wants to join DU Hockey, do you have a pathway to help them regularly turn up and regularly play that specific sport?
Absolutely, yeah. So we have one of our exec roles is sports coordinator, and part of that role is if people turn up to the sessions and love the sport, they will act as a sort of a bridge between either the Team Durham sport or their college equivalent sport to allow those people to go back to training. And we have had a lot of success with that this year, especially. We've got people who have tried. We had a boxing session about 3 weeks ago, and we've got people who now go to every week's boxing sessions. And we have someone who joined floorball off the back of trying our floorball session in week 2. And that is due to, you know, the fantastic work of our college coordinators and the teams of reaching out after the event to say, is there anyone who would like to come back? But we have those methods in place to put people in contact with the right sports, to, you know, let them know dates, times, places. Because that is one of the most rewarding things to see, is people who try something, love it, and want to go back to it.
Are there any known success stories of people who are now at the top of their respective DU sport after getting interested in a sport thanks to your programme?
Not anything that I can think of. I can think of people who have found a new passion for their sport. I don't think we've got enough people. I don't think we've got a long enough history, essentially, to have had people go into that sport and get right to the top of it. But for me, the more important thing is that people have found things they like rather than things they're at the top of.
Yeah, no, I can imagine, especially with some of the bigger sports in Durham, to go from complete beginner to first team in 3-4 years is probably a bit ambitious, isn't it? But either way, it's great to boost the involvement, isn't it? And given that women's sport in the UK as a whole is really experiencing a boom in popularity, how much have you seen that reflected in engagement, really? Have you seen, for example, we had the Women's World Cup this year for football. Have you seen more of an appetite for getting involved in football after seeing a major tournament like that at the top level?
We haven't actually done a football session yet, but we'd definitely be interested if anyone from football is listening. But we have had a lot more interest in people being on the pitch, being in the things that they've seen on television. Like Ultimate Frisbee was our first session, and we definitely had people through the door from seeing that, maybe not on television, but from hearing about it. And it's one of those things that people don't really know about beyond before university. So just getting that experience and that knowledge, maybe not necessarily from TV, but from it being in the general discourse about sports and having this massive broad range of options, stuff that you don't really find down your local leisure centre, it's definitely just hearing about it has increased the appetite for Ultimate Frisbee. Is one where we got a lot of people moving then into the Team Durham from our session. That was a really high demand one. And then going on to watch it on television. So if anything, it was sort of the other way around. It's a way of starting, seeing that interest and seeing people playing it near you, then creates that appetite for getting people into it.
Yeah, it must be really rewarding to see you guys as a as an institution getting people involved from such a low level. And almost, we say it how you see performances at the top trickling down, but like you said, it's almost it's trickling up with you. Mm-hmm. And that must be really rewarding.
Yeah, because so many of the people who we really want to talk to and the people who we would love to be involved are, yes, already athletic, already doing sports, but also people who haven't done sports since high school, people who are interested in finding new things, don't necessarily know where to go, because there's not much capacity for multi-sports. There is in college, but in a Team DU setting, I know that the Team Durham membership is making that a bit easier, but it's difficult to jump into sports partway through the year and jump into sports having already got a main sport to try lots of different things. And that was what drew me to the programme initially, was the chance to try lots of different things and not have to stick with one throughout the entire process. That's what we absolutely love about offering this, is that people don't, they can do it for the love of sport, but not the love of a specific sport, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that sounds really good. I've noticed that this term, at least, you mentioned it before, you've put on programs for sports like floorball, ultimate frisbee, boxing, fencing, more niche, less well-known sports rather than the more mainstream established sports. Is there any particular reason why you're going down this avenue so far?
Partly due to convenience, in that they are really keen to reach out to us, and we love to work with clubs who like to work with us. The people who are likely to respond are generally those smaller clubs who are also focusing on engagement, focusing on getting people in through the door. But also the name recognition of people thinking, oh, I've heard of that, I'd love to give that a go, we thought would be really important for in first term. So fencing was the first session that I went to last year as well. And it was a really important one for people have heard of it. They know it looks really cool, but they haven't really been in a position to try it yet. So having those, maybe with name recognition, but maybe with no name recognition, just sports that people don't quite know what they are, would like to have a go at it, but have never really seen before, we thought would be quite a good way of getting people interested, trying new things, because then you can pretty much guarantee no one's done it before. So it's this really inclusive, really welcoming environment where everyone's just there to have fun and have a go.
Are there any particular sports that you would like to target? Maybe some which have been initially male-dominated that you really want to try and boost the exposure for women in Durham?
Ooh, we did a rugby session last year, and I know everyone's aware of rugby, but that has been a historically very male-dominated one. So that is definitely something we're looking forward to doing in the future as well, especially as the weather improves. A lot of male-dominated sports we'd like to run a session for that doesn't, you know, that's competitive but not massively competitive. It's, you know, it's still about just having a go, turning up, having a bit of fun with it. And those traditionally male-dominated sports are ones that we want to focus on. We looked at doing a darts session as well, which is still on the cards. We've not formalised it yet. But getting people into the sports they've always wanted to try would be, like, the dream, because it's that's the ideal situation for what we're aiming for. That's sort of the ideal for why we exist, as well as just giving people the option of trying all of them. Finding their new thing is definitely within that.
Yeah, I feel like now would definitely be a very good time to try and break into darts, given that it's got popularity in the UK. It's also got a lot of popularity in Durham. There's so many women's darts teams sprouting up all around the colleges and DU, of course. So,
which I had no idea about. Like, I didn't know it was such a big thing until we reached out. I can't even remember. I think I was just chatting to a college darts team member, and she was saying, oh, no, they're never short of people to play. There's so much around. And it's like, oh, maybe we could look at that.
Yeah, definitely something you could explore. Mm-hmm. One of the big issues with doing sport, especially at university and especially at Durham, is it often goes hand in hand with a bit of a drinking culture and a bit of a lad culture too, to be honest. How are you trying to get around this and make sure that people aren't put off from a sport because of the drinking culture, as I mentioned, or other stuff that are outside the pure sporting reason to not do something.
The culture of sports is a really important barrier that a lot of times puts people off from trying that initially. So it is definitely something we're looking at and getting. But we think the major thing is having name recognition of people who, you know, if you turn up to this practice, you're going to recognise someone from a session or a practice before or something like that. People who you know are going to be receptive, people you can talk to, and sort of outlining the welfare aspect of each club as well, making sure they've got things in place. So if we send someone from our program over to have a go at something and they don't want to do the drinking culture, making sure that there is welfare in place, even if it's not outlined about what the non-drinking options will be, which there are in a lot of clubs, and it's an increasing presence. But especially if it's not a pre-established, these are the drinking events, these are the not drinking events, that there's welfare in place that we trust that those people will be able to talk to. And that is definitely, it's something we're interested in now, but something we will be making more rigid protocols about as well, just to make sure it's a good environment for us to be recommending people join. And I realise there's been a few stories about slightly drinking culture based things in, you know, Durham Tab, Palatinate, things like that. And seeing those is a bit scary. So we thought, so I reckon the best way of sort of dispelling that and realising, yeah, there are awful stories, but also there will be good people in those clubs as well, and making sure there's that recognition of, even if it's not the official welfare, there's someone you can go and talk to. And and they can come back and talk to us, and we can find an alternative if they don't feel comfortable in that club. So it's all about just keeping the field as broad as possible, so people have different options of where to go.
Yeah, because I can imagine it's always going to be a big barrier to get over for people trying to get involved in sports. And you mentioned earlier that you've now got a new social sec. Are you trying to emphasise on your socials that you are primarily focused on just having fun rather than any challenges, forfeits, or the things that normally come with a sports social where it's focused on downing drinks or excessive drinking? Are you really trying to emphasise that you're moving away with that from your own socials?
Yeah, that is definitely not us. Because we've got this, we've got a new social sec, but we had one last year as well. We just had a period of a gap where we didn't have a social sec. And at the end of last year, we've partnered with a lot of other like women's and feminist organisations, and we did a tea shop crawl. We were interested in doing, we went through a load of cafes in central Durham. It was wonderful. But definitely alcohol is not a focus of our socials, and it's not going to be going forward. We have done a bar crawl this year, but we've also done a full range of socials that were non-alcoholic, and we're trying to, you know, we're trying to keep that as the major point of, we are a sport organisation, but we're not a Team Durham sport. And as part of distinguishing ourselves from that, we're trying to keep away from having drinking as a precursor to being part of the team, because we're trying to build these relationships. We're trying to build, you know, people come every week because they see friends that they've made in the process every week. And we're trying to keep that distinctly separate from trying to earn your place, because the point in this is there's no barriers to entry. There's no... we're trying to absolutely minimise the barriers that people face to trying these sports. And in that, we recognise that the drinking culture can quite often be a massive issue for that. So if we can keep ourselves completely separate for that and have, you know, a small minority of our socials be drinking ones and have clear alternatives, it will not be that, you know, you've not passed your initiation, you're not welcome in. People are already in before the socials, and before people have every right to be here. There will be no sort of initiations, no drinking culture demands, things like that. And that's something we're really focused on keeping out.
So yeah, that's one of the barriers that faces athletes coming to Durham and joining Durham sports. The other one is the cost of participation, because some sports do have pretty hefty subs. And then the new Team Durham membership on top of that has really put some people off. Are there any barriers with these taster sessions, or can literally anyone just rock up?
So we have a different funding model for if you want to turn up to a particular session or if you want to turn up regularly throughout the term. So we have, each session is £5, but that's capped at four sessions. After your fourth session, you don't pay anymore, or you can pay the full £20 membership right at the start. And if there are, you know, financial hardships, if you reach out, we've got a welfare structure in place to, you know, look at maybe waiving that. Because the primary reason for us collecting money is we donate it all at the end of the year to the National Women in Sport charity. So we're collecting money for them, and we don't want to have that payment as a barrier to people turning up. So absolutely, there's a system in place. Whereas if people reach out to us, they're absolutely welcome to come to the sessions, even if that payment is not not something that they can make at the time, because we want people in the door. That is our main priority. We want women to be doing sport, and specifically women in Durham to be doing sport, because that's where we've got the reach. So we have quite a flexible payment model, which we're hoping is getting people interested and able to give all these things a go, and then putting them towards college, where hopefully their JCR membership will allow them to carry on with their chosen sport as well. So the financial side of things is definitely what we've got now. And we've got two treasurers. We're very concerned about making sure that that's all working as properly as we can and as streamlined as we can for the participants, so that's not an obstacle for anyone turning up.
Fantastic. Can you just tell us a bit more about the Women in Sport charity as a whole then?
So the national charity does all sorts of different things. We support them by sending the subs to them at the end of each year. And we also will be holding some one-off fundraising events. We had one earlier on. It was just a general sort of collection, but we will be running some. We had an idea for a fair. We had some sponsored events that we're going to use to try and raise some money for this, for the national charity. And they work at all levels, putting on activity classes for women and for girls in schools, for providing equipment. I think they have a grant scheme. They have all sorts that you can... they do fantastic work across the UK, recognising that, you know, most... I can't remember what the exact statistic is, but in something they released recently, it was most women who don't do sport want to do sport, like over 70% of women who don't do sport want to, and they want to address that. They want to offer... They want to identify what's stopping them and give active, you know... facilitation of them getting involved in sport, because it's something that I love. People love to do sport, and so acknowledging that there is that love, but there also are those barriers, is the central premise of what the national charity does.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a really good initiative. It's great to see that it's being supported in Durham. Do you know if any other universities in the UK that have got similar programs set up to your own one, and do you ever collaborate with them or work together to kind of increase each other's exposure and make sure that you're both working as well as you can?
We never have done before. I'm not aware of any others that are tied to the Women in Sport charity, but I'm sure a lot of, even just a lot of university sports teams have a women's officer and a men's officer for just keeping track of their different teams. And that's definitely something some people would be interested in chatting to. We've never done anything outside the university, but that is certainly something that would be worth looking at, because I know your podcast is concerned with around the northeast, and that is, you know, somewhere that is definitely somewhere that we are able to reach, and working with other universities in the northeast, because, you know, we can get between them, we can have joint events. It would definitely be something that we're going to look at.
Yeah, no, you beat me to it. I was just going to ask about how you interact with the rest of the northeast outside of the university in terms of exposure, and basically what I'm trying to say is, does the work that you do with the university extend outside of the university and towards the wider culture of Durham and other areas in the northeast?
It doesn't yet. Our sessions are mainly self-contained for female students to turn up and have a go, but these fairs and things will be open to whatever fundraising we do outside of that will be open to whoever would like to come. Like, we did float the idea of doing like a children's and families one with stalls and events and things like that, just to get some money, because we realise asking students for money is a very difficult task, because, you know, they're students. But we would like to increase the reach of it across the northwest, and if possible, we're only just starting out, but we've got big plans. We want to reach out as far as we can into, you know, both academia and just the rest of the world. Not the whole world. I think that might be a bit ambitious, but
I think I'm gonna go for a classic job interview question for you here. Okay. Now, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
The program or me? Right, I was gonna say
whatever you want.
The program. I'll answer that. That's slightly easier because I've not got a plan for myself yet. I would love it if we could be, you know, a jewel in the crown of Team Durham. If it was, which is a way off. We're a bit small for that yet, but I'd love it if we were an example of. This is, you know, increasing female participation is such an important thing, and we'd love it if we could be known as, you know, a group that really fought for that and a group that really made changes and made effort and was approachable to help other people address the barriers that they may have in their own sports and get incoming people excited about coming to Durham because they've got this this program that is aimed at getting women into sports sessions.
Yeah, I feel like in the next 5 years, you'll see the work that you're doing now and that you did last year. That's when you'll really see it start to pay off. And I imagine that'll be really rewarding for you to see.
Yes, definitely. If I'm looking back at 5 years' time and, you know, women's sport is still going strong, and I don't doubt that whoever takes over after me is going to, you know, grow it fantastically. And I'd love to be able to, you know, look back in a few years' time and see, right, I was there right at the start, but look at all this good work that everyone has done after me. Look at how much dedication we've got from that. And how much progress they've managed to make. It would be fantastic to be able to look back at that.
Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. I think it's really good to have a talk about what you do, and I really do wish you guys the best of luck
for
the future.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a blast, honestly.
So as well as all the initiatives and taster sessions that DU Women in Sport are doing, it always filters up to the top level, and just at the top level, this Wednesday you've got a bunch of box matches going on at Maiden Castle, and there are some very, very tasty matches to look out for. And the main match that we're focusing on is DU Women AFC versus Nottingham, which is 7:30 PM start on 3G3. That's the track pitch, live on Purple Radio Sport. That match is huge for the team, who are currently sitting top of the table, level on points with St Andrews, and they're taking on Nottingham, who are just 1 point behind them. And as well as women's football's key match, there's plenty going on at Maiden Castle this Wednesday to watch. Make sure you wrap up warm there because it is going to be a cold one. Men's badminton will be taking on Leeds Beckett, and that's a 1 PM start on Court A. Men's basketball will be facing Northumbria at 6 PM on Court B, with the women's team facing Nottingham at 8 PM on the same court. Men's and women's fencing are both taking on Nottingham at 1 PM, and that is in the fencing cell, whilst men's football will be playing Nottingham at 3 PM on the track pitch. Men's hockey will be taking on Bath at 3 PM on hockey pitch 1, although that match could well be cancelled due to the poor weather. Men's and women's lacrosse are also taking on Nottingham, 3 PM start. The men's team will be playing on 3G1, whereas the women's team will be playing on 3G2. Netball will be playing Manchester, and that's another 3 PM start on Court C. Rugby union take on Swansea at 6:30 PM, and that will be down at Durham City. Women's squash will be taking on Northumbria at 1 PM. That takes place on the squash court, whilst the men's team are playing Newcastle at 2:30 PM, also on the squash courts. And finally, men's and women's volleyball are both playing against Nottingham on Court A. The women's team will be starting at 5 PM, with the men's team following on at 7:30 PM. All of these details, though, are subject to change, and due to the weather conditions, some are at risk of cancellation. And that concludes this episode of Sports Feed. Be sure to follow Purple Radio Sport on Instagram to stay updated, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Purple Radio Podcasts.
Thanks for downloading this Purple Radio podcast. For more great content and to listen live, head to purpleradio.co.uk.